Hey, it's not just to say everybody needs Jesus, but everybody needs Jesus. And that's in this book. Everybody needs this book, especially the younger folks. I mean, there is so much confusion out there. And the confusion is only corrected and redirected by the Word of God. I mean, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That solves the evolution mess. And He made them male and female. That solves the biggest part of the rest of the mess. And He joined a man to a woman in marriage. That solves a big part of the mess. And then we are a mess, and Jesus Christ solved that part of the mess. Amen. His death, burial, and resurrection shed His blood so you and I could have everlasting life. I mean, the world needs Jesus Christ. The world needs the Bible. The world needs to understand that God created man in His image, and Adam fell, and he had children in his fallen image. And the only way to get back to God's image is by trusting Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and having His image applied to your account. And beyond the fact that everybody needs the Bible and everybody needs Jesus, whether they understand it or not, saved people need Jesus Christ. And not just for salvation, but for walking right and His Word, for living right, not in a self-righteous, pharisaical, hypocritical kind of way, because like Paul said, I am the chiefest of sinners. I'm with Paul on that. I'd say that about me. Oh, wretched man that I am, but the Lord's going to fix it one day. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, I'll be changed to be just like Jesus Christ. I'm not there yet, amen, and no preacher is. The only preacher that ever was Jesus Christ. And the only reason he had arrived because he's God, amen. But it's so difficult, as we look at Psalm 42 today, it's so difficult to live in this world and not be overwhelmed by the things of the world and confused. And the only hope we have of pleasing God is by studying this book, reading this book, praying, and lining up with the Word of God. It doesn't matter if everybody in the world is against the Word of God, it's still true. It's still true. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth will always be true. Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, will always be true, amen, in God's eyes. And it should be in our eyes. And all the things in the Bible, many of which this nation were founded upon, are not only important, they're the utmost importance for pleasing God and for having the blessings of God. And we are fortunate to have been born into a nation that was founded by people that feared the book. They feared the Lord and had a belief in the book. And they set up a system of government that was primarily based on the book. And we know where it's at now. We understand the government's way away from where the founders wanted it and way away from what pleases God most of the time. But we can still please God by reading His Word and studying His Word and lining up with His Word. And the Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate. So separating from the world is separating not just from the world, but unto God. As we look at Psalm 42, we'll begin in verse number 1. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. This passage, actually verse number one, has been on my heart for several days, several weeks actually at this point. And the reason being is I was reading through this, reading different psalms the other day, or here a week ago or so, and I read this: as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. And it was convicting. Very convicting, because as a born-again believer, as a child of God, adopted into the family of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, I was very convicted that I'm not seeking after the Lord all the time like I should be. I remember reading this verse in different times of my walk with the Lord and feeling like, you know what, that's me. And I remember other times reading that and say, I wish that was me. We get so caught up in the things of this world that we start putting our focus on everything but the truth. And Jesus Christ is the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And like I promised you, we won't keep you long. You'll be out here quicker than you can imagine. Some of you already left, amen? You're just sitting here. I want to talk about seven things in this passage today. And the first, again, in verse number 1 and 2, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Our desire. The desire here, the psalmist is reading, and he says, I long for you like a thirsty animal after water. I thirst for you. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm out cutting grass or whatever, especially get June, July, and it's hot, and you're out there, and you want to go get a drink, but you got to finish things up, and you finish it up, and your mouth's sticking together, and you go inside, and you don't want milk, you don't want lemonade, you don't want orange juice, you don't even want pop or any of that stuff. You want a good glass of water, cold glass of water. I mean, you already got your mouth sticking together. You don't need that sugar in there. You want some water, amen? And you get in here, you drink that water, and it's so refreshing. And that's what he's talking about, that refreshing water. And that should be finding Jesus Christ on a daily basis and walking with Him is refreshing like a glass of water. Because we're living in a dry and desert land. We're living in a dry world that's busy and caught up into everything but the things of God. And we're not supposed to be focused on everything in the world. Now, I understand we have things to take care of. We have things that responsibilities as parents and such, and grandparents and family members and all that. But a lot of the responsibilities we have aren't necessarily necessity responsibilities. They're things we put on ourselves. But we focus on so much, and we try to get so much out of this world and of this world and from this world that it's almost like we want very little of the Lord. I mean, I got enough to get me to heaven. That's it. That's good. I know where I'm going. Praise God. I know where I'm going because I've got a book. Not because I'm good, but because He's good. You know, sanctify Him through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. We're set apart. We're sealed. We know where we're going. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior from the heart, as a sinner went to Him and said, Lord, forgive me and save me, you are saved. You are sealed. And you are surely heading to heaven. But right now, we've got some problems, amen? And if you be honest with yourself, the biggest part of the problems we have is us. It's because we don't line up with this verse. We don't hunger and thirst after righteousness. We don't thirst after God like we should. And by that, I mean the most simplest explanation of that is we're not looking to please Him all the time. And He's worthy. Now, husband, a good husband want to please his wife, want to be a good husband and a provider and all that stuff with his wife. A good wife want to please her husband, be a good wife and help meet and all that stuff. And that should be. But there's very few people want to please God. And kind of like Reagan back in the 90s talked about trickle-down economics. That's the way a walk with the Lord works. You please Him, and then you can please your spouse. If you're pleasing to Him, you will be pleasing to your spouse. Amen? If you're focusing on you and what you can get out of the world, and he or she, the spouse, is just a secondary issue, then you won't be pleasing the husband and the wife to each other. But the only way that you can get the ability to please one another and be a blessing and to be what God's called you to be one another is please God. If you line up with God, everything else falls into place. And, you know, the funny thing is this socialism and communism and all this stuff, the trickle-down economics, if there's money at the top, there's money to run down to other people. That's why, the politicians talk about corporations and business owners and rich people and all this stuff, and they hate them. Well, look, there are greedy people out there, but I know greedy people that are poor. Amen? They wouldn't give you anything to help you. They wouldn't help anybody. It's all about them. But the thing is, if somebody doesn't have the money, who are you going to get it from? The government? That's what they want you to believe. Amen? So that trickle-down theory is not only a good theory financially, it's the only way it works spiritually. You line up with Jesus Christ, you please Him, and everything else will fall in line. I'm not saying that you're never going to have problems, because in this world we are going to have problems. But I'm saying there's no hope without Jesus Christ being the head of the household. There's no hope without Jesus Christ being the head of the church. There's no hope without Jesus Christ being the head of a marriage. There's no hope without Jesus Christ being the head of the man in the house. Amen. There's no hope. Everything rises and falls on good leadership, I've heard to say. Well, that's not necessarily true. Everything rises and falls on following the ultimate leadership, Jesus Christ. But our desire should be to please Him. Look at verse 3. The psalmist says, "My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say to me, 'Where is thy God?'" Our discouragement. The desire should be to God. Then we have discouragement sometimes. You know what? You look at why he's discouraged. Look at the reason. In tough times, you know what folks are saying to him? "Where's your God? Where's your God?" And that's why it's so dangerous for these prosperity preachers to tell everybody that if you're saved, everything should be roses and lollipops all the time. Because that's not true. That'll get you discouraged real quick. The truth is, you are going to go through some things. You're going to suffer some things. You're going to have trials and heartaches and pains and suffer loss. But you've already gained everything, and you already have victory if you're saved because of Jesus Christ. Amen. But he's discouraged because they're saying, "Where is thy God?" What's going on in the world today? Where is thy God? If you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ and people, where is your God? You ever heard that? How could God let this happen? How could God let that happen? If God is real, then how could this be? Or how could that be? Or how could there be this or that? And the truth is, they're just saying, "Where is your God?" I'll tell you where he is. He's still on the throne. Amen? And I've read the book. I've read the whole thing from cover to cover. I'm not bragging, but I made it through there. And I'm not a good reader. Amen? I made it through there a few times. And when I got to the end, I was really surprised the first time to realize that God's not waiting to win, he already won. Amen? We've got a prophetic book of Revelation that shows Jesus Christ as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, new heaven, new earth, because the first heaven and the first earth pass away. They're going to be burned up one day, and there's going to be a new one without sin. And a new Jerusalem coming down as a bride adorned for her husband from heavens, a new beginning for everything because of what Jesus Christ did on Calvary, because he is worthy. And the enemy says, "Where is your God?" The discouragement. Look at verse 4. "When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God. with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept Holy Day. Now, I understand Holy Day is a religious thing there, and I understand that we worship on the first, meet together to worship the first day of the week, because that's when he rose from the grave, and that's what the first church did, was met together on a Sunday, the day the sun rose, amen. But I want to look at our duty. Our duty. He's discouraged, but guess what? He's still talking about going to the house of God. He's still talking about doing what they were required to do. His tears, it says, is meat day and night. He's being mocked and ridiculed. Where is thy God? And he kept doing what was right. The point is, do what's right. Amen? Just do right. Do right. I mean, the most amazing book ever written, I have right here. I have a copy of it right here. The most amazing. You know what this book says? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You know what it says? It says, for children to honor their mother and father, that the days may be long on the earth. It tells children to obey their parents. You know why? Because this is right in the Lord. It's right. Do right. Do right. Well, little Johnny and little Susie, they don't do this. Well, then they're not right. Honor your mother and father. Children, obey your parents. This is right in the Lord. You know, then we get to the part that I'm probably going to lose some of you on, but wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. That's biblical, by the way, but you're supposed to have a husband that's following Jesus Christ. Amen? And if you got a husband that loves the wife like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, according to Ephesians chapter 5, that's what God expects, then the wife has no problem submitting to a husband that loves her so much that he would die for her like Christ died for the church. Amen, amen, and amen. But people won't die for Christ. They won't die to self so they can live for Christ. So they'll never be right on the downstream. They'll never be right if they won't die to self and live for Christ. They'll never be the husband they're supposed to be, the wife they're supposed to be, the child they're supposed to be, the Christian they're supposed to be. The world overcomplicates it. Well, you know, little Billy didn't get a pet hippopotamus when he was four, and that's why he's robbing banks and all this stuff, and that's why, you know, and little Susie, she wants to be Stanley, and Stanley wants to be Susie, and anyway, just it's so complicated, and, you know, they can't help it. Well, sure they can. Open the book and read it and see what it's supposed to be, amen? God gave us a book. The world overcomplicates things. Just do right. Well, it might be right for you, but that's not right for me. No, right is right. It's not conditional rightness, amen? If it's right, it's right. And if it's wrong. I don't care who's doing it. I don't care if the Republicans or Democrats are doing it. If it's right, it's right. Well, one of them's going to have a hard time getting on that board, right? Getting on board with the right thing. But if it's right, it's right. And if it's wrong, it's wrong. Amen? Oh, Trump this, Trump that. Hey, if he's right, he's right. If he's wrong, he's wrong. When Biden was in there, if he was right, he's right. If he's wrong, he's wrong. Somebody just had to tell him, amen, whether he was there. My point is, it's overcomplicated. It's very... God made it so simple that even we could understand it, amen? I mean, God gives preachers and pastors and teachers to point you to Jesus Christ in the book, but you don't need a pastor to tell you what's right. You can read the Bible. Amen. You need a pastor because when you're not wanting to read the Bible and not wanting to do right, the Lord can use him through a message to nudge you back on the right road. We should be in church. Praise God. But you don't need me to tell you what's right. You've got the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, you've got the Holy Spirit of God in you, and you got a book. You got a book. Our desire should be to please him. Our discouragement comes from the world and the people of the world calling evil good and good evil. I believe, now I know Paul in Paul's day, when Paul walked this earth after Jesus Christ, I know that Paul was living in a day where there were heretics, there were Pharisees, there were religious zealots going the wrong way, there were antichrist spirits going and all this stuff. But I believe today in 2026, if you're a parent, you have the roughest job a parent has ever had, because the world is so crazy. And the only way you're going to be able to point your children in the right direction is by getting that book in you and lining it up with the truth of the Word of God, because the devil is running the show outside the walls of this place and outside the pages of this book. He's the little g god of this world, and he is running rampant with bizarre thoughts and feelings and lies and misinformation, disinformation, untruth, whatever you want to call it, falsities. Well, I just don't know what to do. I'm going to get me a book from Dr. Spock or Dr. Seuss or whoever to tell me how to... No, get you a Bible and open that thing up. Open that thing up. Don't make excuses. Open it up. See what it says. And do what it says. Amen. And don't do what it says not to do. He'll tell you. Our duty. Keep doing right. Look at verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Our decision. Now look what he's already said. His tears. He's talked about his tears. He talks about his sorrow he's going through, the opposition, where's your God? Pouring out his soul. And you know what he says? He made a decision, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. What's he going to do? He's going to keep praising God. Amen? My wife's a praiser now. I mean, we get, not a praiser like houses, but she's a praiser. Now, I know she might be like me, and her heart might be right, because we get a parking spot up front at Walmart. She, praise the Lord, we got a good spot. I think it's because she can get in there quicker, amen? But she says, praise the Lord. And I'm like, yeah, thank God we didn't have to run over anybody. Get in here, because this is crazy, you know? Three people took our spot, wanted to pull through, and they come in the other side, turn in the, you know. Here I am frustrated, and she's like, praise the Lord. And I'm like, oh, that's convicting, amen? But to praise him when things aren't going right, he's still good. Nothing changes about God. When everything's come off the rails, when all the wheels have come off the bus, when you're in the deepest, darkest mire and muck of grief that you could be in, he's still God. Amen? And not only that, you have an eternal promise of eternal salvation, because he doesn't change. That Bible says you go to him and he'll nowise cast you out. The Bible says his gifts and callings are without repentance. He's not going to turn a gift away from you. And it says in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast. Salvation's free. It doesn't cost you anything to get it. It doesn't cost you anything to keep it. Now, if you want to please God, that's going to cost you something. But salvation's free. The decision the psalmist made was, in the darkest times and in the toughest times with the most opposition, he decided he's just going to keep praising God. The distress that he was in, that's point number 5, in case you're ready to figure out how fast we're going to get out of here. I told you it was 7. I'll probably stick to that. But the distress, it distresses me sometimes just to be out in public. I mean, just the stuff that goes on in public. I mean, some of it is minor annoyances, and some of it is just spiritually wrong. I mean, I seen these two guys at the store in their pajamas getting ready to get into it. One of them's wearing these fluffy slippers, and I'm thinking, even so, come Lord Jesus. What's going on here? Bad enough that if they knock their Crocs off, but when they're wearing their fluffy slippers, they're sleepy slippers, amen? They're slippy slippers, amen? I don't understand. And then you've got all the stuff, the outwardly, openly evil stuff. people running around with pentagrams and devil stuff all over their clothes, and they decide that I'm going to go to Walmart, I got to get my devil jacket on or something. I know people need Jesus, I understand that, but to me, that's disturbing. That bothers me in here, because that's not the way this is supposed to be, and it doesn't please God. But it should bother us when we don't please Him. Amen? Distress. And again, look at verse 6. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. There's the distress. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and from the Hermonite, and of the Hermonite, from the hill Mizar. The determination. The determination. He said, I'm cast down. My tears are my meat. Everything's terrible. Everybody's making fun of me. Where's your God? Where's this God you talk about? Where is He? Where is this rapture you're looking for? Where's this, you know, all this stuff that you talk about? Where is it? But he was determined to keep focused on the Lord. That kind of matches up with, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14 that we talked about in Sunday school. Determination. Determination. Our desire should be to please Him. Discouragement. That happens. Just keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. Make the decision to praise Him no matter what. When you're distressed, just be determined to focus on the Lord. I mean, honestly, we get hit so much from the worldly stuff that I know people that are saved, they've been in church their whole life, that were so distressed when Biden got elected. And I was like, well, at least it wasn't Obama, you know. But I mean, they were so distressed they were going to quit. Like, oh. And then I know other people that were so distressed when Trump got elected. I'm like, I'm voting for Jesus, amen. He's my write-in candidate. Even so, come Lord Jesus. He's going to sit on the throne of David one day and rule perfectly. The folks that we have now on their best day couldn't rule perfectly or even close to it. And we're not trusting Him or them. It's better to look, trust in the Lord and put confidence in man. You ever notice how that all the folks that were Trump all the way, you know, Trump 2020, Trump 2024, Trump 2028, Trump 33, all this stuff, he does one thing that they don't like, and it's like, I can't believe he turned on us. And I'm like, no, it's not that he turned on you. You were worshiping him. You thought that he thought like you, and if he thought like you, he wouldn't deserve to have the office anyway, because you are being represented by people like you, because people are messed up. People don't follow Jesus Christ in the Bible anymore. We have representation of the people, for the people, and by the people, because people are messed up. Our politicians are like they are because people don't follow Jesus Christ anymore, and God will give you representatives like you live. Amen. We've got a nation full of greedy, self-centered, self-righteous, self-serving hypocrites. And when a greedy, self-righteous, self-serving hypocrites get voted in, everybody's surprised. Amen? Hey, you get somebody in there, they talk generically about God, they don't know Jesus Christ, they don't know any Bible, and people are like, how could that be? Because you don't. God will give you the representation you deserve. Amen? Thank God we're not counting on Him. We're counting on the Lord. Amen. We're not counting on Trump. We're not counting on Biden. We're not counting on an independent. We're counting on Jesus Christ. Amen. Distress, determination. Look back at verse 1 and 2 again. I'm wrapping this up. I promise you're going to get way early. Maybe. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God. For the living God, when shall I come and appear before God? He should be our desire. When we have discouragement, we should keep doing our duty, make a decision to praise Him. In our distress, we should stay determined to focus on Him. Listen, though, He's not just a desire. Look at verse 2 again. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? He's not just a desire, He's a destination. He is our destination. Amen? When shall I appear? You know, what are we waiting for? We're waiting for a moment, the twinkling of an eye, to hear our name called, to be changed, to be like Jesus Christ, meet Him in the air, and be out of here. You know what the psalmist was waiting for? To meet God face to face. He's not only a Savior and one to be desired. He is our destination. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm like, boy, I can't wait to get to heaven because this place is crazy. Heaven would not be heaven without Jesus Christ. He's the destination. No matter where you meet Him, you're there. You've arrived. Amen? And if you made it to heaven and the Lord wasn't there, it wouldn't be heaven. Amen. And if one of our politicians was running it, it'd be hell. Amen. But He's not just, shouldn't just be our desire, He should be our destination. And realize that we're waiting to be with Him. You know what Paul said? I'm confident that be absent from the body to be present in heaven. That's not what he said. Be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. You know why? Because he wanted to be with the Lord. He wasn't looking for a street of gold. He was looking for the owner. Amen? What are you looking for? As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Husband, if you match up with that verse, you'll be a good husband and you'll please the Lord. Wife, if you match up with that verse, you'll be a good wife, you'll please the Lord. Children, young folks, if you match up with that verse, you'll be good kids that please the Lord and make a proud parent. Amen? You'll never disappoint your mom or dad. You'll never disappoint your husband or your wife if you're pleasing God. If you're disappointing somebody, it's because you've disappointed the Lord in your walk with and toward Him. Amen? As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee. Father, we love you and thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to realize he's more than just someone to be desired, but he is a destination. We'll be with him one day, and he is worthy of all glory, honor, and praise. Help us to praise him and glorify him here. Boy, come get us soon. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. In the meantime, bless us and help us to end right in your will and walk with you on a daily basis, focusing on you, that we make the decision and be determined to focus on you and praise you in this crazy, messed up world. We'll give you all the honor and glory. And Lord, if anybody in here is lost without Jesus Christ, that they'd realize that everyone's a sinner, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if they believe they're a sinner and believe Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, that they'd call on the Lord before it's too late. And Lord, help them. Make today the day of salvation. And for those that have already trusted Christ, praise your holy name. You've kept us. You've bought us. And you're coming to get us. And we thank you and praise you and give you all the honor and glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.